Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, a very special guest for the very first time, Mona Davids. Mona is the president of the New York City Parents Union and a founding member of the New York City School Safety Coalition. Mona is a public school graduate. Her daughter graduated from a specialized high school, and her son is in the eighth grade. Mona's advocacy has led her to the corridors of the State House, Supreme Court, to the Court of Appeals courtrooms, and the streets of New York City. From school funding to education rights to school safety, Mona has put herself on the front lines to ensure every child has access to high quality education in a safe environment. Mona, welcome to Reaching Out.
Thank you. Thank you so very much for having me today. I'm glad to be here.
Mona, you are a public school graduate and a parent. What do you think of the current school safety issues plaguing our schools?
Well, I'm scared. As a mother, I am really, really afraid for my son. And he's in the eighth grade, so next year he's going into high school. And, you know, what I see happening in the schools, you know, the various incidents, the safety incidents, the assaults, the bullying that's going on, it's really concerning for me because I really don't see the Department of Education taking real actionable steps to stop the crisis that's going on in our schools right now. So, for example, you know, I talk about this all the time, is the current shortage we have of school safety agents. Something like that is an actionable step that the Department of Education can take to start to address all of these safety incidents that we're having in our schools. Then also, of course, holding children accountable. You know, they're pushing restorative justice, but guess what? Restorative justice does not work, because restorative justice, what that does is, in my opinion, is it enables the assailants, it enables the attackers, it enables the students to continue with this bad behavior. And my concern about that is, in my opinion, restorative justice is something that's going to set our kids on that school to prison pipeline, because if they're not being held accountable for their actions now, while they're in school, when they're out of school and they're 19, 20, and they think that they can go around and assault people, they're going to get locked up. So, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I think we really need some common sense when it comes to safety in our schools.
Now, there's a video out. I saw a video, Vito Labella.
Yeah.
And that is the most accurate, complete assessment of what's going on with restorative justice, with a cure going into the future. You want to elaborate on that video? And perhaps our listeners can look up that video and tell them where to find it on YouTube.
Yes. Vito Labella is a parent leader in Brooklyn. He is the president of, longtime president of his child's PTA at the school. And he's been very, very active for quite a number of years. And Vito's testimony last night at a community education council hearing for community education council in District 2 was in response to the violent incidents that have occurred at 75 Morton, which is a school downtown Manhattan, as well as the Lab School for Collaborative Studies, which is in Chelsea. And Vito brought up restorative justice. And his point is that restorative justice on its own simply does not work. Vito is also a retired police officer, so he knows what he's talking about. And he knows that the children have to be held accountable by the adults. They have to be held accountable for their actions. And he spoke very eloquently on how, you know, what this restorative justice system that the Department of Education and other social justice advocates purport to protect students, you know, marginalized Black and Hispanic students. This system that they're pushing of no accountability actually harms the students because they think that they will always be able to get away with such bad behavior. So, you know, for those our listeners, if you want to see the video, it will be posted on our website today at nycschoolsafetycoalition.com. You'll see it on the homepage. But, you know, Vito LaBella and many other parents throughout the city feel very strongly that our schools are out of control. And, you know, Vito also mentioned that the PTA president from 75 Mortem said that our schools are a microcosm of what's going on in our communities. And while I may not agree with that PTA president on other things, that is an accurate description of what's going on in our schools. Our communities right now are under siege. We have rampant gun violence in our communities. The criminal justice reforms that the legislature passed, including raise the age, all that has done is caused a lot of harm in our communities. And what's happening outside is now spilling over into the schools. And that is also, you know, partially one of the reasons for the rise in a lot of students bringing weapons into the schools. But, you know, we really need to address both because they go hand in hand. So if on the outside as adults, you can get away with attacking, assaulting, stealing, doing whatever you want, and you're not going to be held accountable due to the criminal justice reforms and the bail reforms and the raise the age reforms, of course, what's happening outside will spill over into the schools. And this is what we're seeing, you know, this total anarchy and havoc going on in our schools.
Now, that's interesting because I'm looking at our crime statistics and I'm looking at what's going on. And people are walking into stores and taking whatever they want, not paying for it. And we, you know, it's on the front pages of our paper and everybody's doing it. Now, well, not everybody's doing it. Too many people are doing it and getting away with it. You have the district attorney who ran on, he's not going to prosecute crime. Well, message received loud and clear. People got your message and they are putting the tests to the district attorney of Manhattan, Alvin Bragg, and he's been the national news for the wrong reasons. He's a toothless tiger. And it's just an embarrassment. And New York has become a mockery of the entire country when it comes to law enforcement and crimes. And I'm looking at the legislature dig in, no matter what happens, they gotta stay the course. There can be reform, and there could be criminal justice at the same time. You don't take one without the other. They both need to work hand in hand. The system has to be just and fair and not too harsh. But right now the pendulum has swung to the side where there's no accountability, there's no crime being prosecuted. That's the perception, and people are just going crazy. And people are getting killed, people are getting hurt, and people aren't protected. And the legislature, the elected officials are not listening.
No, you're absolutely right. Our elected officials are not listening. The legislature, they're digging their heels even more, pretty much, you know, when head in the sand and refusing to fix these laws. you know, you look at what's happening. We see so many pharmacies, Walgreens, Rite Aids being closed down due to shoplifting and theft. We see other retail stores where you have people who just walk in and take whatever they want here in New York City, because they know that they will not be held accountable, because those laws that the legislature enacted 2 years ago, these laws are protecting them. These laws are permitting and enabling this bad behavior, this criminality. And, you know, I think that at this point, to be honest with you, if the legislature, the current legislators, are not going to put the safety of our communities, our children first, our small businesses first, because a lot of them, even in our communities, people see what's happening at Rite Aid or Walgreens in Manhattan, but these are the same things that are happening in our communities to mom and pop businesses, because everybody knows they're, you know, it's a revolving door. They'll be charged, they'll be let go. You can assault a bodega worker, you can assault anyone. It's a slap on the wrist. What we can do is vote them out, or, you know, have support other candidates who are running, who are sick and tired of being sick and tired of this crime. But we need to take back our city. We need to take back our state, because all of this crime affects so many other things. It affects tourism, you know, it affects the economy. New York City and New York State is still not really open for business. But why would any tourist want to come here and spend their hard-earned money when they're going to be attacked or shot in Times Square? And for families, for parents like myself, you know, if we can move and if we can get out, we're moving. You know, New York City, New York State right now, when you look at the numbers of New Yorkers moving out of New York State, it's staggering. So if we want to stop all of this hemorrhaging, we need to look at those laws. We need to fix those laws. Something has to change.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, our very special guest, Mona Davids, the president of the New York City Parents Union. And we're talking about crime in our schools. We're talking about crime in our streets. And I believe the turning point of crime is when Mayor de Blasio was elected. And he started it in our, he started off in our schools by hiring Carmen Farina, who just allowed the children to do whatever they wanted to do. They came up with these warning cards that you didn't keep records of. You just wrote it down. You didn't even give the warning cards to your parents so your parents could know you committed an infraction. And I railed against that. But that led to what we have now, violence in the schools. The children know they can get away with whatever. They're smart. They pay attention. They understand weakness. And that's what led to this. And I just wanted to mention that. And then we had a child get stabbed to death in the high school because this child was being bullied by two other children, and he stabbed both the children, and one died. The other one was really, really badly injured, and that child is in jail. So you had three children's lives damaged because of the policies of Mayor de Blasio and Carmen Farina. Yet they didn't heed the message. And now I'm looking at restorative justice and this 2.0 all over again, and nobody is listening. And I could tell you honestly, Gregory Floyd's children did not go to New York City public schools. Why? Because when I worked for Local 237 and started representing school safety and started seeing the horrors going back to 1994 of what was going on in our schools, I said, my children cannot go here. They were yet to be born. I said, they cannot go to these New York City public schools. Mayor Giuliani tried his best because he moved the school safety into the police department and he got crime under control. Mayor Bloomberg had crime under control, and it started to get out of hand with Mayor Bloomberg. He identified schools, he put them on notice, and he really tried to stem the violence in our schools. Mayor de Blasio just let the lid off the pot, and he just let kids go crazy. And he said, Greg, how could you say that? I said, because I sat here and watched the whole thing from the union's perspective, from going in the high schools, the schools, and listening to the school safety agents. And I could say, I'm honestly at the schools, and any elected official or politician, whichever you want to be, that disagrees with me, pick a school, meet me there, and see what goes on. Stand in the corner and watch. And either you're going to put your head in the sand and you're not going to believe it, or you're going to say, oh, wow, I didn't know.
No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, what I find even more concerning now, and although it seems like he's, rolling it back a little bit, is most recently Eric Adams, Mayor Adams, in his policy speech where he introduced his blueprint to end gun violence in New York City, out of the blue mentioned that he plans on decreasing the number of school safety agents and replacing them with violence interrupters. So to me, that's just as bad as restorative justice, and it actually may be worse. And the reason why I say this is that violence interrupters locally here in New York City and nationally, when you look at other cities, including cities close to us, Baltimore, Philadelphia, you even look at Chicago, violence interrupter programs have not been effective. And for those who are unfamiliar with what violence interrupter programs are, violence interrupters are usually former gang members, folks who served time in prison for whatever criminal acts or gang involvement, who have been released and who have reformed themselves and turned their lives around and now want to be mentors and discourage our youth from following their paths, which is laudable indeed. Yes, that's wonderful. But the problem is, even though Mayor de Blasio, for example, gave violence interrupter programs $300 million during his tenure as a mayor.
Wait. $300 million?
Yes, he gave them $300 million during his entire tenure as mayor, because the violence interrupter programs are funded by the city of New York. They're under the mayor's office. So you have those under the mayor's office, and then you have other independent violence interrupter programs like the one that Eric brought along to meet President Biden in Queens. And these organizations are all receiving millions in funding, and they're employing former ex-cons, former gang members, who, again, I'm not trying to knock what they say they're trying to do, but the fact of the matter is this: it is not working. It didn't work in Baltimore. It didn't work in Philadelphia. It's not working in Chicago. And we have proof of a track record of failure in New York City, because if violence interrupter programs were working and them being on the street and stopping the gang violence, the gang recruitment, and all of this, if that were working, we wouldn't have almost 30 teens killed last year. We wouldn't have drive-by shootings at schools. We wouldn't have children, for example, just a week ago bringing almost 20 knives to school. We wouldn't have all of these assaults going on. It does not work. So for me, as a mother of a 13-year-old young Black man, soon to be ninth grader, that I'm raising, no, I'm not okay with Mayor Adams seeking to decrease the number of school safety agents from our schools and replacing them with violence interrupters. I don't want no violence interrupters speaking to my child. But even more so, I'm a former PTA president, school leadership team member, Title I PAC chair. I've been volunteering in my children's schools since my now 23-year-old college graduate daughter was in elementary school. In order to even really volunteer and interact with students in schools, you need to take a background check with the Department of Education. It doesn't make any sense to me how our new mayor, Eric Adams, is going to say that he wants to decrease something that works, which is our school safety agents who between, what is it now, February 9th, between the first day of school and today have confiscated nine guns with bullets, with no bulletproof vests from our schools, who've literally avoided nine school shooting tragedies so far that we know of for certain, with violence interrupters that have not been effective, that we can see the data in our streets with the shootings, with the statistics, with the gang recruitments. How does he rationalize something like that? So I hope he is, you know, rolling back that plan, but it is very, very concerning to me, because guess what? A violence interrupter doesn't know how to do a proper search. A violence interrupter shouldn't be touching or searching or doing any type of inquiries with our children. So it's something that we need clarification from the mayor. We need clarification from the chancellor. But again, maybe they're rolling back on that crazy, outrageous, ludicrous idea, because I understand that Chancellor David Banks said at a CEC meeting in Queens two nights ago that he plans on hiring more school safety agents. But even with that said, you know, while it may somewhat be encouraging, the fact of the matter is, there's simply not enough time with the training, with, you know, our recruits that may decide that this is not something that they want to do. And speaking as a mother, as a woman of color, as a Black mother who reflects, the workforce of school safety agents who, like me, are Black and Hispanic mothers and grandmothers, you know, all of these attacks is kind of discouraging, attacks on their profession, attacks on their integrity. And this doesn't help when it comes to recruitment. So, you know, my advice for the mayor is one, start recruiting, get these classes going so that we have at least a decent number of school safety agents in September when my son starts high school, I hope. And also he needs to look at things like the salaries of this majority female workforce, because for the amount of work that they do, they deserve, you know, much, much better salaries. So that's my take on it. I know it's a mouthful. I'm sorry, but these are the women, you know, these are the people, the other mothers like me who are protecting our babies, and they need to be treated with respect and they need to be paid well. If they can give millions of dollars to violence interrupters who are ineffective, they sure as hell can give, higher salaries to our mothers and grandmothers who are protecting our kids every single day, unarmed and without a bulletproof vest.
And full disclosure, we represent the school safety agents, and there's a shortage of about 2,000. And we agree with your assessment. Thank you for that. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment of Reaching Out. Mona, we're going to have you back, because this was just part one. We got to do a part two. That's all the time we have for this segment of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. Our very special guest, Mona Davids, who is the president of the New York City Parents Union. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.